Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to another hot episode of Red Wine and Mystery Stories, the premier podcast on the entire internet that dwells into our two favorite things.
Delves, yeah.
What did I say, dwells?
Dwells.
I don't fucking know. I don't know how to talk. You know I don't know how to fucking talk. Anyway, we delve? Is that what we
delve? Wow. Starting it off right, man.
We delve into two of our favorite things, the mysteries of the universe.
Yeah.
And booze. Yeah, we like to drink while we're doing. Well, we like to drink while we're delving.
Clearly, we've already started drinking.
Oh, yeah, we pregame up a storm, Carol. We pregame up a storm. Anyway.
Oh, totally. I chugged my drink so that I could refill it before we started recording.
Made myself a strawberry daiquiri. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to us, I'm Patrick M. Dunn, and I'm joined here. Who am I here with today? Who's joining me at this moment in time?
Always Jill Buck. As always.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shout out to Jill Buck. Yeah, she's back.
Yep.
Back again. She decided to come into it one more time, at least.
I'm a glutton for punishment. Yeah, that's why we're friends.
She hasn't kicked me off the show and, I don't know, replaced me with someone better. Someone who knows how to say words.
I wouldn't be able to do that anyway because you have all the, like, fancy equipment and stuff.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you could find, like, a cool, like, I don't know, maybe, like, Joe Rogan. You could join up with Joe Rogan.
No, no.
He's got the equip.
No,
He's
no.
He's got a studio. Maybe Adam Carolla.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of whose podcasts we like to listen to. I'd totally be on board with the guys from Important If True, but they haven't released a new podcast in a while because they've been like busy with like real life shit.
Like babies and stuff?
No, like work stuff, I think.
Oh, yeah.
They've been kind of on hiatus and we miss them.
Come back.
Chris Hardwick, I could totally replace you with him.
Oh my God.
I feel like he'd be fun.
Downgrade. I feel like that's a downgrade. I'm sorry.
He seems so fun.
I don't know. I bet you he's a jerk in real life. I bet he's a jerk to all his girlfriends.
I don't know. We went and saw him do a comedy show. We went up to Maine on Jay's birthday one year and saw his comedy show, and he seemed like really cool. There was actually a girl in the audience that at one point, like asked him if he'd take a selfie with her phone. And he was like, yes, but only if every person, because she was like four rows back from the stage. And he was like, but every person that hands your phone up has to take a selfie as well. So she had like a bunch of selfies of random people. It was kind of funny. Oh. But yeah, he like did this like really cool one when he got the phone up on stage and then passed it back to her and stuff.
Oh, well, didn't he have like a hashtag Me Too moment over the summer? I seem to remember that.
Yeah. And based on everything that was like being said from people, it seemed like it was an ex that was like still pissy about their breakup and wanted to like hurt him.
Oh.
Because she didn't like publicly say his name and like accuse him. She wrote this like cryptic story and put it out on one of the websites where you publish just like stories and shit. And
wow, that was a great description right there of a like a news magazine on the internet.
Yeah, shut up.
You could have just said blog. She published it to a blog.
It's the rum talking. But like she, it wasn't a blog though. It was from like medium.com or medium
editorials,
something like that. It's like medium.com. Like you go on and you publish like not like articles or blogs, but like essays and shit.
Oh.
Yeah. And she like specifically didn't use his name, but like made it very obvious that she was trying to accuse him. And she said all this, she like said all this stuff about like, oh, well, I have all this proof and everything. And all of the people that knew the two of them when they were in a relationship came out and said, that's bullshit. I'm on Chris's side because I actually still have text messages from like when they broke up, because he specifically said, you know, I've been accused. I'm really hurt that she would accuse me of this. You know, we didn't have the best relationship. We were, you know, we yelled at each other. We were not nice to each other all the time. And the relationship was ended when I found out she had cheated on me, and I ended the relationship. She actually frequently asked me to get back together after the breakup. He still has like the text messages from that as evidence, and so do a bunch of the people that knew the two of them together. It just seemed very fishy. It seemed like an ex trying to like you know, bring down his career. And he was like, you know what? I'm not going to be on social media for a bit. I want this all to get straightened out. And like, he was taken off the show on A&E for a while. And Nerdist like came out and was like, we've severed ties and all this stuff. And now he's back on the show on A&E. And A&E had specifically said he's been removed from the show while we can investigate this. And then a while later, he is now back on as the host. And I think they like came to the understanding that, like, I think they like looked at hard evidence and were like, wow, she's actually kind of full of shit.
Can I
it just seemed weird.
Sorry to interrupt. Can I no bone zone you?
Oh shit.
Can I no bone zone you right now? It's been bothering me for like the last minute.
Oh god.
Chris Hardwick was not on A&E. He's on AMC. AMC, American Movie Classics.
AMC. Oh. No, I thought it was A&E that had him on as the, maybe it's AMC.
It's AMC, girl. The fuck are you talking about? He does the Talking Dead?
No. It is a different show.
I don't know.
Maybe it's AMC, though. It might be still AMC. I could be wrong. I'm sure I'm wrong.
I don't know. I still think it's a downgrade. A downgrade if you go to...
Whatever.
And I don't know.
All right. Who would you rather I have on to replace you? And it's not going to be January Jones, so just...
Kristen Bell. We both have lazy eyes. We both solve mysteries because she was Veronica Mars for a hot minute. And she will be again.
I'm trying to picture her.
The Good Place? The Good Place, currently on NBC at the moment with Ted Danson. She was on Bad Moms. She was the blonde on Bad Moms. Fucking Forgetting Sarah Marshall. She was fucking Sarah Marshall. Like, I don't know, like 8 episodes of Heroes? Why?
This is all shit I haven't watched.
I'm going to faint. Hold on. Let me go find a fainting couch. All right.
What's
right
her
now.
Name?
I need an old-timey fainting couch. Kristen Bell, damn it.
Yeah, all right, hang on. I'm going to look up a picture so I know who she is, because I'm sure I know.
You know fucking Chris Hardwick's entire biography. But you don't fucking know Kristen Bell.
Oh, Kristen Bell. Yeah, I'd totally replace you with her. She's wicked cool.
Goodness. Oh, my God.
I just had to see a picture. You know I suck with names.
I'm going to fire you from the podcast and replace you with Kristen Bell so we can both have lazy eyes together. All right, I'll send you a picture of her lazy eye later so that way you get like a hot pic of it. And I'll do a side-by-side of my lazy eye. And you're going to be like, oh, wow, you guys can be twins.
Can I just say for the record, so I've been listening to a very special podcast a lot because I've been like catching up on all your back episodes. And the last couple that I've listened to,
yeah,
there are some things that you said that I'm like, oh my God, we're the same person.
Like what? Give us some hot examples.
Okay.
We'll do a little cross-promoting right now.
So, yeah, a little cross-promoting. So the most recent one, which is the one I texted you about, was the fact that there was an episode of a very special podcast where you were talking about like all the train wrecks from Hollywood, like Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, which Kat didn't believe that she was as bad or something like that as the rest of them. And you were like, no, she's just as bad. She's right there with them, Lindsay Lohan and shit. And you brought up the album that Paris Hilton released and the song that she recorded, which was the single, I think, that came off of the album, which was Stars Are Blind, and how you really liked the song. And it's kind of like one of those like guilty things for you.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it. Oh. You talk about it and how like you're ashamed to admit. And I was like, oh, my God. That's so me. I have it on my iPod and I totally love the song and I'm like so ashamed that I like it.
Oh, it's a classic. I listen to it like once a month. It's like my period. I listen to it once a month. Like, visits my headphones once a month. I get a little go through a lot of emotions listening to it because it's such a great tune.
It is.
And it made me wish that Paris Hilton like had more great songs, but no, it's just the one. Just the one, girl.
Yeah.
I remember around the time there was conspiracies. Speaking of Conspiracy Corner, there were conspiracies that it might not have actually been her singing it. It might have been somebody else.
You did mention that. Yeah. You mentioned that, and I was like, ooh, I didn't hear that ever. So that was interesting.
Yeah. I forget the name of the girl who they accused.
Didn't Kat say something about maybe it was Lindsay Lohan or something? And you're like, no, it's not.
I don't know, probably. Speaking of Kat Halstead, the author, my co-host on... very special podcast. She showed me a picture of her like on her works website and she looks like a modern day Lindsay Lohan. I just thought that was funny.
Really?
Like today, like Lindsay Lohan 2018, 2019, whatever year it is right now. I don't even fucking know.
It,
2019?
It's 2019 now. Yeah.
All right. We've crossed. We're in the last year of the teens. R.I.P. teens.
Let's get out the rest of our teen angst because we're about to hit 20 in another, you know, like 50 weeks or so.
I just want to point out too that we got an email. Yeah, we got an email. Finally, we got an email to redwinemysteries@gmail.com.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to read this. This is very...
It's a no-bone zone.
Yeah, it's another no-bone zone. So no-bone zone is the portion of the podcast where we have been corrected by somebody. We were wrong in an episode, so...
It's the no-bone zone because there's no boning because it's no fun.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's no boning, just corrections.
So so we got an email. Great show. Big fan. Long-time listener. First-time emailer. Hell yeah. Our first emailer ever, actually.
I know. It really is.
It's very literal.
Aside from automated emails from Twitter.
And like that one time, that one email that I sent... to it, just so I had to make sure that it worked right.
Yes. Yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah. Anyway, our correctee said, during the Dance and Plague episode, Jillian said Dance and Fool was a Spike Jonze song, but it's actually Frank Zappa. Ooh, yeah. So he says, Spike Jonze is a filmmaker, not to be confused with Spike Lee, another filmmaker, not to be confused with Stan Lee, the comic book writer, not to be confused with Stanley Hudson, the fictional character from The Office, who's not to be confused with Hudson Hawk, the 1991 movie starring Bruce Willis. So, quite an email. That was a tongue twister.
Yeah, it really was. And I gotta say, yes, Spike Jonze is a movie producer or whatever, or director, but there is also a Spike Jonze that did some comedic songs, because there's a Spike Jonze on the same, there's a song, at least one, by Spike Jonze on the same Dr. Demento collection that Dance and Fool is on.
Yeah.
So just putting that out there, people.
Yeah. So we just no bone zoned our no bone zoner. So
yes.
That's like, I don't know, double boning going on right now. Double penetration.
Ew.
Actually, how about no penetration? Because it's just like butt to butt right now.
Ew.
Pussy to pussy. You can't, it's just like a scissoring. We're in the scissor zone right now.
Oh my God, it's so awful. Oh, it's so terrible. I don't need that visual.
All right. You ready to get to today's topic? You ready to get a little mysterious right now? I think it's that time. I think we've babbled on enough.
Yeah.
We did a hard-on for Hardwick. We did a Lazy Eye Lopez moment. And then we did...
No Bone Zone.
So I think we're ready to get into Mystery Corner right now. You ready? You ready? I think you should, think you should drop the title. What we're getting into tonight.
Oh, so tonight.
So dim the lights, turn up your stereo.
Let things get creepy because we are about to talk about the Exeter UFO incident.
Yeah. Yeah, so this was a UFO that took place in our neighbor to the north, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Shout out to New Hampshire.
Yes.
Lots of great things happen in New Hampshire.
Oh my God, you're saying that so funny and I love it.
What do you call it?
No, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. I'm saying it the way that it should be said.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
You're saying it the way it's spelled and that's great.
I'm saying it the way that I'm hearing you say it. New Hampshire.
No, it's New Hampshire, not New Hampshire.
All right, say new.
It's not like the New Hampshire where the frickin' hobbits moved to, the New Shire or something. It's New Hampshire.
All right, say Hamp.
Hamp.
Say sure.
Sure.
Say Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
And you're saying, no.
New Hampshire. What is wrong with you, girl? I'm saying it right. I'm saying it exactly the same way that you're saying
God.
It. Is this like that Yanni, Jenny thing that was on the...
Laurel? No.
Anyway, so this is about the Exeter incident in New Hampshire in the 1960s. So the story begins at 12:30 a.m. on September 3rd, 1965, at Exeter, New Hampshire. A policeman was cruising on Route 101. Yeah, shout out to Route 101. came upon a woman parked beside the road. So, you know, he's just cruising along. He sees like a hysterical woman. She's like, oh my God. Oh my God, I just saw a flying object with flashing red lights and it chased me for some distance. And she pointed to a bright light on the horizon. Then the policeman, Eugene Bertrand, he watched it for a short time and, I don't know, he was unimpressed by it. He was like, I don't know, it's a light in the sky.
Yeah, He's like, this crazy fucking woman's like looking at a plane or some shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe there's an airport. There's an airstrip nearby. A landing strip. It's about to land. And he left her. He just left her in the fucking woods. Like, told her there was nothing to worry about. And I don't know. He's just going to go back to the station.
Not in the woods. Just on the road.
It's New Hampshire. There's fucking woods on the side of the road. Have you ever been to New Hampshire? Like, there's no city there.
Yes, a lot. And I gotta say, there's a lot of places where it's very city-like.
Name two.
Are you kidding me right now?
No! No, I'm not. I mean, it's totally serious.
Oh, my God. Okay. Any of the towns right along 495.
Okay. Name a town. I don't believe you.
All right. I will look up the name of a town. I can't think of the name.
All right. Portsmouth? Is that one? Is that one of those?
Definitely Portsmouth.
All right. I remember, Portsmouth is a little villagey. Yeah, it's a little like old time. Yeah, I get you. Okay, but it's mostly woods. Let's be real. New Hampshire is mostly woods.
Not really. I would say Maine is mostly woods.
All right, we're gonna have a Twitter poll.
Yeah.
Which state is more woodsy, New Hampshire or Maine? So go to Red Wine Mystery.
It's definitely Maine. There's chunks of Maine that are just, like, unexplored.
It's 2019, girl. What do you mean there's chunks of Maine that are not explored? What are you talking about?
No, there's, like, dense forests. Like, people get lost there, just like fucking the national park that we talked about.
So you're trying to tell me, Maine right now, there's a spot where no human being has ever stepped foot.
That's not what I'm saying. Okay, that was a gross general over-exaggeration, but... there are dense forests in Maine a lot, and there's more than in New Hampshire.
Well, I know.
Maine is bigger than New Hampshire.
All right, well.
Oh my God, Patrick, this is why I love you.
I have driven through New Hampshire many a time in my life.
So have I.
And I feel like it's just all woodland.
No.
It's mountains.
No.
Every now and then you see a beautiful creek. You see a little creek or two.
No, because right over the border from
Maybe a rapid.
Right over the border from Massachusetts is where you stop and get the, like, you know, the cheaper alcohol, and you can stop and get fireworks and stuff. And that is pretty freaking built up.
But there's still woods around it.
It's very...
All right, well...
Well, you could say the same thing about Boston. Oh, it's pretty built up, but around the outside, there's still woods. Like, come on.
All right, well, hold on. This is 1965. This is 19 goddamn 65.
Okay.
It wasn't built up yet. Fucking Storyland hadn't opened yet. What a country was just like a lump in his dad's Levi's.
Okay.
Canobie Lake might have been around. I don't know how old Canobie Lake is.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't. All right.
Let's get back to the story.
Yeah.
Right, so the policeman, Eugene, Officer Eugene, just was like, fuck you, bitch. Drove back to the station. Maybe watch fucking Dick Van Dyke or something on the old, like, Bunny Ears TV, because it was, like, I don't know, a late-night broadcast of it or something. And just left that poor woman on the side of the road, all alone in New Hampshire. I don't know, she could have been eaten by a bear or two, or abducted by an UFO.
UFO.
But then, hold on, about 2 hours later, at 2:24 a.m., an 18-year-old dude, Norman Muscarello, yeah, shout out to him, he bursts into the Exeter police station, all white and shaken. He had been hitchhiking along a Route 150 toward his home in Exeter when he saw what he called
the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It was as big as or bigger than a house. Yeah. So I don't know. That's pretty fucking big.
Yeah. Depending on the size of the house, but yeah.
Yeah. No, like, is this like the Green Acres house or is this like a McMansion?
Yeah. I mean, there's very, very different sizes, but. Still.
Well, if I saw a thing that was the size of a house floating in the sky, I'd be pretty...
Any fucking house. It's pretty... That's big.
I'd be white and shaken also. hold on. I got a statement. Do you want to hear a hot statement from Mr. Norm Muscarello?
Oh, yeah. Give me that statement. Quotes and all.
All right. All right. I'm trying to think of a Norm voice. Norm Muscarello from Exeter, New Hampshire. Been living here for the last 18 years of my life. Just graduated high school, but to go off to college with my best gal. We both got accepted to Boston College. We're gonna go down there together. I'm gonna study engineering. She's gonna be in liberal arts because she doesn't know what she wants to do yet. But we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, girl. Anyway, so back to my story. Yeah, back to my story of the thing. Yeah, you ready? You ready? You ready, Jillian? In the future, you ready for the story?
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So I saw a group of five bright lights. They appeared over a house about 100 feet from where I was standing. The lights were in a line at about a 60-degree angle. They were so bright, they lit up the area. The lights then moved out over a large field and acted at times like a floating leaf.
Yeah,
you heard me. They would then go down behind the trees, behind a house, and then reappear, dude. Reappear. Believe it or not. B-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
B-I-N. I don't know. I don't
believe
it.
B-I-O-N.
B-I-O-N. Bion.
Bion. It sounds like a science term.
Anyway, Muscarella then describes what would prove to be a powerful clue to the UFO's identity. So we get some more quotes. The lights always moved in the same 60-degree angle. Only one light would be on at a time. Yeah, wild. They were pulsating. Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. They were so bright, I could not distinguish a four-minute object. I watched these lights for about 15 minutes, and they finally disappeared behind some trees and seemed to go into a field. At one time, while I was watching them, they seemed to come so close, I jumped into a ditch to keep from being hit. Ooh. I'm getting very, what's that episode of The X-Files? Deep Throat? I'm getting very, this is getting very deep throaty to me. Remember the little, like, the lights in the sky?
Yeah. And Mulder goes out into the field and shit.
With the stoners, with stoner Seth Green.
Yeah. That was a good one.
That was great. That was a hot episode. Yeah. Do you think it was inspired by this Exeter, New Hampshire incident?
It could have been.
I don't know. Maybe we have to write a letter to Chris Carter. Hey, Chris Carter, if you hear this, tweet us at Red Wine Mysteries and tell us.
Yeah.
Give us some background. Dying to know.
We are dying to know.
All right. So then Officer Eugene Bertrand, he drove with Muscarello to the site just before 3 a.m. You know, Muscarello hopped in his cruiser. They drove down there. The two then walked into the field. And Bertrand himself witnessed the lights Norm described. And then Bertrand stated, at one time, they came so close, I fell to the ground and then started to draw my gun. Like I was going to shoot it. Like I was going to shoot the lights in the sky. The officer then stated that there were 5 bright red lights. Indeed, they were extremely bright and flashed on one at a time. He added that the lights were so bright, I was unable to make out any form. The pair then ran to the police station. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The pair then ran to the police car like little pansies. And then Bertrand...
Run away!
Bertrand radioed patrolman David Hunt, who arrived and also witnesses the lights, which finally moved away eastward and toward the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to take a splash into the water.
Dip in the pond.
Yeah, we're going to go take a dip in the pond here. We're going to go wet our whistle. You know, it's a nice September night. It's, you know, the water's at its warmest, usually at the end of summer.
Yeah, usually like August is the warmest, but
yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I wanted to take a dip into the ocean before Labor Day. It's like a car wash. You want to get a...
It's like, oh, it's only going to get colder from here.
I'm going to get a salt bath.
Let's corrode this UFO right now.
Over the next several weeks, some 60 reports of UFOs followed in the area around Exeter. The case resulted in an article in Look magazine in 1966. A book by, you know, many books came out about it. And a host of articles, entries in UFO encyclopedias, and discussions in books, as well as lectures, radio shows, and television documentaries. At one point, J. Allen Hynek, the astronomer who began as an admitted outright debunker, but became by the late 60s a true believer in the reality of the UFO phenomenon, considered the case a fine example of a close encounter of the first kind, which was terminology he created. Hynek observed that the Pentagon was unable to explain the September 3rd, 65 Exeter phenomenon, and that the scientific establishment, and failing to deal with the evidence, was like the Pentagon actually admitted it had no explanation. So in short, the object was still an unidentified flying object.
Oh.
Implying that the mystery indicated something momentous. Skeptics were, of course, skeptical. So I think you want to get into, I'm going to offer my opinion, then maybe we'll get into, like, Skeptics Corner. Maybe you'll, pull on your pants, put your pants tight. Get a little camel toe going on, and you can debunk this for us, I guess.
Get some nice high mom jeans on, and start the debunking.
My hot theory is I believe in UFOs. I'm a firm believer in UFOs. I have never witnessed one. I have always dreamed of seeing one, but I want to believe, just like Mulder's poster. I don't know. How else can you explain the strange lights that are hovering in the sky like a leaf, disappearing, reappearing, coming so close? I don't know. It's wild stuff to me. So I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky.
So
yeah, that's my hot take.
There's a lot of people that have like come up with like potential solutions and shit for this.
Yeah, because this is like considered one of the most like popular UFO sightings of all time, basically.
Right. And I gotta say, like, you're like a true believer in UFOs and shit. And I honestly kind of am as well, but in a different way. So, as you know, like, my dad is super, like, at least when I was growing up, he was kind of obsessed with, like, aliens and shit. He still kind of is. He watches a lot of the History Channel with the guy with the aliens and whatnot.
Shout out to Papa Buck.
He watched a lot of things when I was growing up, which he watched a lot of, like, stuff with people being interviewed who had supposedly been abducted. And he watched that fucking alien autopsy video like 50 million times.
Yeah.
So I actually, when I was really young, I was like petrified of aliens abducting me and like whatever. And I remember specifically like staying awake because I was looking out my window lying in my bed and I couldn't like get to sleep because I was like so sure that if I fell asleep that something bad was going to happen. And just, yeah, like, yeah, it affected me as a child.
All right, I got a story. Sorry to interrupt, but, all right. So, I remember I was a freshman in high school. This was, like, 1996-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Old enough to know. I remember I was, like, up late one night. I was, like, in my bedroom, like, watching TV or something. And my window was open. And in, like, the corner of my mind, I was like, oh, what if a UFO, like, flies by my window? So, I got up to, like, go, like, close the blind. And you know how, like, sometimes, like, you see, like, even if it's, like, dark, you can still see your, like, reflection in the glass.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, just because it was so dark, and I think, like, the moonlight was shining in, I saw my reflection, but it was, like, translucent and grayish, almost like the color of an alien. And, I legit thought there was, like, an alien outside my window. And I remember I woke up my brother, and I was like, Danny, wake up. He's like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, there's an alien outside the window. And he's like, what? I'm like, hey, come here. Look, there's an alien outside the window. And he was so fucking pissed that I woke him up because he's like, there's not an alien outside the window. I'm like, yes, there is. Look. And I'm like, right there. It's right there. He's like, it's your fucking face, you idiot. Like, he was like younger than me. So, like, I don't know. That
well,
if you want to get any indication of like how dumb I am, there you go.
Well, I got to say, when I was really little, when I was like dealing with all this shit at that same time frame, I used to sleep, I didn't care if my, like, closet doors were open or whatever, and I had a pretty wide, like, closet. It, like, stretched most of a wall, and I had those, like, accordion kind of doors, like, the double doors that, like, fold open a little bit. They're not truly accordion doors, but they fold in the middle. I had on, you know how closets have, like, that shelf?
Sure.
And your mom always puts, like, your, like, spare bed sheets and shit on it. In my closet, I had, like, collectibles up there. So I had a couple of, like, really nice porcelain dolls and some just, like, knickknacks and things like that that were up on that shelf in the middle. And one of the things that I had was this preserved butterfly on like, you know, a little, like, twig. And it was a cool little scene that was made up. And it was in this glass dome. And my grandmother had gotten it for me for, like, Christmas or something one year because I really liked it when I saw it and it was very beautiful. So there was one night that I was in bed and my doors were to my closet were open and the moonlight shining in my window somehow reflected off of this glass and it made this weird effect where I swear to God it looked like a fucking alien fetus was in this glass dome. So like, no more butterfly, no more pretty butterfly on a branch. No. Fucking alien fetus in a glass dome. That is what I saw. It scared me so much that I still cannot sleep with closet doors open. Have to have the closet doors shut or I cannot fall asleep. So that was like my big thing when I was little about like, you know, seeing aliens and shit. So yeah. I'm right there with you.
All right, so.
Away from all that, I'm now a little bit more critical with the like UFO sightings and things like that. I kind of went the other way with it where I'm like, you know, skeptical of a lot of things that are reported and I try to look for like the debunking and it's probably just, you know, my mind going, yeah, we're too scared to like think of the possibility that this is true. So we're going to like try and debunk it.
Well, all right, Jill.
So
ready to
so with this one,
ready to be an unfun mom right now.
Hey, don't compare me to Jill on Home Improvement, because I know that's where you're going with this.
Well,
Cam. And you even apologized for calling her an unfun mom because you realized, like,
I did,
the shit she was dealing with was ridiculous.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jill Taylor, as played by Patricia Richardson, who has like a weird stiff person disease. You still are an unfun mom sometimes.
Anyway,
let's just throw that there. Sometimes you still are an unfun mom. And Jill Buck is.
Are you talking about me or her?
Her, but sometimes you butter on that territory because you're about to well Tim me right now. Take it away, Jill Buck, the Jill Buck. I can't talk. We've been drinking.
We're
not me.
You like actually put together a lot of the like solutions that people have come up with as potential. So there's like the whole, you know, the typical things you'd think of, that it's like, glare from landing lights at a nearby Air Force base, you know, things like that. Let's see.
An advertising plane was one of them. One of the things that someone said.
Yeah. Advertising plane was one of them. Air Force operation.
At fucking like 2 a.m. Yeah, 2 a.m. and advertising plane flying around, because, you know, why not, right?
Corona discharge from power lines is an interesting one that I saw on that list. Prank with a lighted kite, which I found very interesting. But the one that I found most interesting, I think we looked at the same article. Says that basically they solved it.
Yeah, let's take it away.
All right, so this one is the supposed solution, which could be completely correct. This article has a lot of like sources listed, and it's you know, notated properly. It looks very legit the way they have it put together. And they talk with actual like Air Force pilots and stuff. And so the gist of it is basically it being a result of the sequencing lights that are typical for a refueling plane for the U.S. Air Force at the time. And like they have photos and shit, and they visited an aerospace museum and like looked at like documented things, and really were able to debunk this, saying that it's, you know, so the specific refueling plane that they're talking about, which I think they have it listed, KC-97, the fuselage is arrayed with a row of 5 red sequencing lights, and they would often reflect on the refueling boom, which would, you know, cause different perceptions of how the lights were showing and things like that. So that's the big debunking of what we found, is this refueling plane thing.
I don't buy it, because how else do you explain the officer saying, and Norman, good old Norm, trusty Norm, and the other deputy that joined him, the patrolman, how else do you explain the lights coming so close that they had to hide in a ditch? How do you explain that?
Well, it could have been just, you know, their perception of it, too. Like, they may not have come that close. It may just have been, you know, that's what it looked like, but that's not actually what was happening.
Maybe coming down all swift, coming down all swiftly toward them.
Coming down all Taylor Swift-like towards them.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. How else do you explain the way it hovered leaf-like? Like, it floated and disappeared behind the tree line and then behind a house and then resurfaced?
Well, because it was a flying...
Planes don't really move like that.
They float in the air, especially if it's a refueling plane. It's going to hover because it has to kind of stay even with another plane to refuel. So it's going to almost appear as if it's hovering in one spot rather than moving like a plane. And, as far as like going behind tree lines and houses, depending on how far away these lights were, it could have looked like it was going behind trees and houses because the vantage point was behind them. So it couldn't see it behind these things. And then, you know, as far as the whole coming close that they ducked, it's perception. Human eyes are not that great. I gotta say. And, you know, you can think that, oh my God, it's coming right for me. And it looks like, it, like, how you wear 3D glasses in a movie and you duck because it looks like an arrow is coming at your face. It's not actually happening. Your mind perceives it that way.
I guess I have no idea how, refueling planes works. Like, I don't like, you keep saying, like, it, like, floats.
They have to match the speed and velocity of another plane so that it stays even with the plane, and depending on your vantage point, it could almost look like it's stationary, because they're most likely moving at a slower speed. The plane that's being refueled has to slow down, and they have to hook, it's like a delicate operation to, like, hook everything up properly, make sure the planes don't collide, because they're really close together when this happens. Like, so it could look like it's hovering, because they're also high enough in the sky that, I mean, if you look at plane lights, it looks like they're moving really slowly across the sky when they're really moving very fast, because they're actually covering more ground because they're higher up. They're moving faster than it appears, because there's, you know, it's like a, because the world is round. You know, the higher up you go, it's like a pie slice. It's like a pie slice.
What? Hold on. The world is round?
Oh,
the world is round?
Oh my God. You are I'm just totally going to feed into the flat earthers, aren't you?
I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, you better be.
I just wanted to.
The scientist is going to have a field day with you.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Not in that way. All right. Stop. Calm down.
I don't know. I'm so perplexed by this mid-flight.
Well, I don't know how to
refueling thing. I don't know. Why is this happening at 2 a.m? Why is this fucking happening at 2 a.m? They already talked about that there was a nearby airport that it could have been glare from. Why did they just go land there, refuel, and go back up in the sky? Why not?
Because if it's a military plane, which this is a military refueling vessel that they're talking about, if it's a military aircraft, they're not going to just be able to land at a commercial airport. There's a lot of different, like, things that come into play with that.
I'm just like, there's some spooky stuff going up there in New Hampshire that I need to get to the bottom of. I need to know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to know more about the state. There just seems to be a lot of mystery there. I feel like we could do a lot of New Hampshire and mysteries.
I think you're right. I mean, in all honesty, any of the, like, New England states, there is a lot more, you know, woodsy areas than in a lot of other states and things like that. So we have endless mysteries that we could talk about from this area.
I know. We need to get our magnifying glasses and go snoop around the woods. Snoop around the woods of New Hampshire and Maine. How about Maine while we're at it? Because apparently Maine is more
and not get lost.
Apparently Maine is more woodsier than New Hampshire.
Yeah.
According to legend.
And it's bigger.
Is it?
Maine is bigger than New Hampshire, yes. Maine is huge.
You learn stuff here at this podcast. You learn that Maine is huge.
That's what she said.
You learn that New Hampshire,
Maine is huge,
is more inhabited, apparently. It's more city-like, according to Jillian Buck.
Well, there's less space and there's still a lot of people. Maine has, like, places that are not really, like, there's a lot of places that don't have, you know, a lot of free access to stores and things like that. Like, there are places in Maine where it's like, oh yeah, you live there, but the nearest store is like 20 minutes away and shit.
Do you think they have cash only, like, gas stations still?
I think they do, actually, depending on where you go in Maine.
Yeah, shout out what it means to be from Maine.
Hell, they have a cash only gas station in fucking Wareham, Massachusetts.
Yeah, that, I wouldn't say that was woodland. I would say it's pretty.
No, it's not.
Wareham is a ghetto.
It is kind of the ghetto. I'm sorry, Wareham. I'm sorry, the ham.
Is that what they call it? Wham? I call it Wham.
Yeah.
Wareham.
There are a lot of people that call it the ham, like people that live in the area. I'm surprised you never heard that when you were up here. People that live here, they're like, oh, I'm going to the ham.
You know what? Low key, I kind of like try not to associate with Wareham.
With Wareham? Wareham.
I've been there. I've traveled through it. I know a few people from there over time, but
it's got Water Whiz.
That's right. I forgot it has Water Whiz.
And it's also, it's got a recreational pot shop now.
And isn't it the birthplace of Gina Davis?
Is it?
Gal pal.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, Gina Davis was born in the ham. She came out of the ham.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Bitch left the ham and went to Hollywood.
Well, I can't blame her.
Shout out to her. We probably were in the same water at Water Whiz at some point.
In the same whiz water.
All right, you want to hear a conspiracy?
Oh, yep, conspiracy corner.
I bet you teenage Gina Davis peed in the pool at Water Whiz. And then her like pee particles stayed in the water all those years. And then when I went there when I was like 10 years old, I probably had like a residue of Gina Davis pee. I probably drank Gina Davis pee. Let's be real. I probably like accidentally like swallowed her water.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. So
would make you like endlessly happy, wouldn't it?
There's a part of Gina Davis inside of me right now. Like she drank a high C beverage in like 1970 something. Peed it out into Water Whiz. I drank her pussy juice.
Oh my God. You do realize pee doesn't come out of the vagina, right?
It's close enough. It's the urethra.
Yeah, but they're two separate things.
I don't know. Maybe she got excited too. Maybe she got like a little excited. Maybe a boy kissed her for the first time.
Oh, and she just like squirted into the pool.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
18-year-old Gina Davis getting fingered at Water Whiz.
Oh my God. That sounds so dirty. Sounds awful.
The summer before she went to Hollywood.
That sounds like a yeast infection waiting to happen.
Well, you know what? She probably did get one. So maybe I had some Gina Davis yeast also. Who knows?
Oh my God.
And you know what?
What has happened to this podcast?
It didn't ask Steve Buscemi. Wasn't he in a movie that took place at Water Whiz? Didn't he fall into like one of the pools? So.
Oh yeah. Adults.
Grown-ups. He was,
or grown-ups. Yeah. Adults. Whatever.
Adults. Adults.
Grown-ups.
Yeah.
Grown-ups. Was filmed. There was a good chunk of it filmed at Water Whiz. And yeah, he totally like dangled off a thing and like
fell in.
Smashed his face on something and whatever.
By the way, that's totally not like an actual like attraction at Water Whiz. Like there's no fucking way.
No, no, there totally isn't. They would have so many fucking lawsuits.
Spoiler alert to anyone who has not seen Grown Ups with Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Chris Rock, Rob Schneider, Steve Buscemi, and I don't know, like a few other people.
Yep, David Spade.
David Spade.
Oh, Colin Quinn.
Oh, yeah, Colin Quinn.
He's the rival.
Not Gina Davis. Gina Davis took no part in this movie. She was like, I'm not going back to that place.
It's an Adam Sandler movie, so.
She's like, I'm not going back to the place where, like, I got fingered and then I got broken up with right away. You know what? That dude probably, like, broke her heart, like, after he, like, went inside Gina in the pool. He's like, fuck you, Gina. And he left her.
Bye, Gina.
I don't know, where is he now? Where are you now? Yeah. Where are you now, dude?
Seriously.
If you're the person who figured Gina Davis at Water Whiz in 1970 something, tweet us at Red Wine Mystery or email us at redwinemysteries@gmail.com and tell us all about it.
I love how you made up this whole fucking story and now you're like looking for this fictitious person to contact us.
I don't know. Just like the truth, he may be out there.
Oh, buzzing.
Yeah, so come to us. Come to Butthead.
Oh my God.
Come a little closer. Do you have any last minute thoughts on the Exeter incident?
No, but I think this did a fair job
of... Or Norman Muscarello.
I mean, in all honesty, I feel like there's a lot of people that have gone a long way to debunking this. So it's probably debunked officially. That's my thoughts. Of course, it could... all be a plot and the debunking could be, you know, influenced by our next week's episode.
Oh, I see what you're doing there, Jillian Buck.
Yeah, like seriously, there's a lot of talk about planes and military planes in this. Maybe the people that wrote all these things and like had all this evidence were like influenced by something that they inhaled when they were outside.
Yeah, maybe they weren't refueling.
Like mind control.
Maybe they weren't refueling planes. Maybe they were dripping chemtrails all over the place. So who knows?
Chemtrails, motherfucker! Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe it was chemtrails
that
fell into the pool at Water Whiz and made Gina Davis's boyfriend break up with her.
Maybe. It could be. Conspiracy corner.
So like maybe it's like, you know what? Maybe he was going to hold her back. He was going to hold her back and she wouldn't have moved to Hollywood. But the government was like, you know what? Gina Davis, they saw her as a national treasure.
She is a national treasure.
And they wanted her to go to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, you know what? This guy is so smitten with her. It looks like true love. We can't allow that to happen. Let's just sprinkle some chemtrails over Water Whiz.
Yep.
And, you know, while he was fingering Gina Davis in the splash pool, he breathed in some chemtrails. And then he was like, you know what, Gina, this ain't going to work out. And she felt like a scorned lover, but it inspired her to go to Hollywood. She got cast. She got cast in The Fly, Accidental Tourist, in other famous movies of the late 80s.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own. Hero with Dennis Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman, not Dennis.
Piss on your red hat?
Yeah,
like, come on.
Yeah, come on. Piss on Patrick's face?
You would love that.
Oh, my God, I would love it. I could have Gina's urine once again.
Oh, God.
All right.
So wrong.
Oh, do you think Gina Davis's urine are chemtrails? Like, in...
You would be outside basking in chemtrails if that were the case.
Oh, for sure. I'd be gathering it in the little baskets that I could bring home.
You'd be like collecting it in little cups.
Selling them on eBay.
Gina Davis air pussy juice.
Yeah. Ooh. Pussy farts in the sky. Pussy farts above us.
Oh my God. It's so terrible.
Rain it down.
Oh.
That's why she left the Rockford Peaches, because she had to go make more pussy farts.
Queefs?
Is that what they're called?
Yes. What the fuck? What has this show become? Oh my God.
Has become. It's taken all along, girl. Since fucking day one.
That's true. Sorry about the cum stains, Maria.
I think I'm going to hop on my mystery boat and float away. I got to go down. I got to bird box my way down the river. And
oh my God. We need to do housekeeping. Where can we be found?
Oh, Red Wine Mysteries on Twitter.
No, Red Wine Mystery on Twitter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Red Wine Mystery. It's redwinemysteries@gmail.com is our email address. Why do we have to make it so difficult? Why couldn't I just pluralize the Twitter?
I don't know why you couldn't. Okay, but you fucking made the Twitter and you didn't pluralize it. We can also be found on Facebook. Just look for the Red Wine and Mystery Stories group. We will totally add you. We've actually added a couple of people in the recent months.
Yeah.
And have not gotten any spam, so that's a good sign that they're actual people. Yay! Go actual people!
Yeah.
You can also find us on Tumblr, on iTunes. Have you figured out the Spotify thing yet?
Yeah, I just gotta add it. So by the time this airs, we'll probably be on Spotify. So for all you Spotify assholes out there, just look for us. Just look for us on
yeah, boy.
Spotify. Also, we want to make a hot announcement. We're going to be at AlienCon in 2019.
We totally already made that announcement, but let's reiterate it because we're going to be doing some hot alien eps while we're there.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing some live recordings, probably do some like Facebook Live video maybe, or like live feed to YouTube or some shit. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
But we'll make it happen.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We're gonna have some hot swag, including, you know, maybe some special teacups. Oh, if you are at AlienCon in Baltimore and you would like a teacup signed by Patrick and I, bring your teacups and we will sign them and even maybe get a picture with you.
Yeah, tea time.
Tea time, motherfuckers.
Yeah, for the guys and gals from Red White Mystery Stories. And, I don't know, maybe you get to meet Bruce the intern. Who knows? Maybe he'll make a rare appearance.
Ooh, he just won't be able to appear in any of the recorded stuff because, you know, he's not allowed.
Yeah, and I don't know, you might even get to meet our scientist. Our scientist might even make an appearance.
He's planning on being there to help me with the candle stuff.
Yeah, so if you have any scientific questions you want to know about, like, pussy farts, what they're made out of, you can always ask him. He can tell you all about it.
I'm sure he's going to be as happy to answer that question as he was about the question, does cum dry brown or clear or what?
Well, you know what?
Oh my God, we were at D&D last night and he totally said something and I was like, he said something about blood on something and I was like, well, if it's dried, it dries brown. And I was like, you should know that from that episode. And he's like, I'm sorry, I don't know what color blood dries. I only know what color cum dries.
You know what? as him being a registered scientist, I'm offended that he didn't know what color blood dries is. So.
He was just saying that because I think he was pissy about us just asking him about what color cum dries.
Well, you know what? We need to know. Sometimes we need to know We're not fucking registered scientists here. Pseudo-scientists? What do we call ourselves?
Non-scientists, I think, is the most accurate.
We're non-scientists. Yeah.
It's so true.
If you have a question for him, come to AlienCon in Baltimore. It's in November, right? November 2019?
I think so. And once we are officially registered, we'll have a nice big post come out on our social media feeds.
Yep.
We don't have an Instagram. Should we have an Instagram? I feel like maybe we should.
I think we should. We should put out nudes on there.
No, I don't do nudes.
All right, anyway.
Yeah, no one wants to see your nudes, so let's just back it up.
We'll make one. We'll make an Instagram. Just look for Red, White, and Mystery Stories. Just search. It'll probably pop up.
Yeah.
It'll pop up in your search list. Anyway, just in case you're accidentally listening to this episode in 2020 after AlienCon, find yourself a time machine and go back. Go back and visit us and change the space-time continuum.
If we have a good time, maybe we'll come back for AlienCon 2020.
Huh. Yeah, with Barbara Walters.
Oh, yeah. Barbara Walters, and this is 2020.
Yes. And on that note, I think we should depart.
Yes, I agree. I think we have talked this to death.
And watch the skies.
Deuces!